Jewish Hour. I'm your host, Herschel Finman. We've got a great show for you today. In this half hour of the show, we'll be speaking with famed author, lecturer, and personality, Tzvi Friedman. He'll be talking to us about the seven Noahide laws. It's a great interview. You really want to hear this. Boy, he's really awesome. The portion of the week is the portion of Korach, some really good Bible story. And we've got some, speaking of stories, we've got a Hasidic story at the end of the show. We've got lots of wonderful music for you throughout the show. Before we do anything else, let's go right to the news. Really, the first story should be that the Jewish Telegraph Agency's website was down as we were preparing the news today. An official JTA spokesperson said they were not sure if the site was attacked or if it was a mere technical difficulty, but we will find out for you by next week. In other news, Palestinians fired at IDF forces that operated near the security fence separating Israel and Gaza. The fire was directed at IDF jeeps and other military vehicles in eastern Gaza. There were no reports of injury. A farmer near the Gaza border was rescued by IDF forces after Arab snipers fired at him. The farmer dodged the bullets and took cover behind his tractor. A mob of Arabs rioted at the Bitunia checkpoint north of Jerusalem and threw rocks at security forces. Two border policemen were lightly hurt in the attack. A few hundred South Sudanese citizens have signed an agreement to return to their native land following a nationwide crackdown by the government on illegal entry into the country. A direct flight left to South Sudan this morning, which is now an independent nation and is no longer considered unsafe, with 200 of the illegals. Another 700 South Sudanese are waiting to be deported back to their homelands. A fire broke out in a daycare center located in a synagogue in Bnei Brak. That's a suburb of Tel Aviv. Responders were able to get all 150 children to safety in a rescue termed miraculous. The fire started in the basement of the building. This one fits into, you got to know who you are and where you are and when you are. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu slipped and pulled a tendon in his leg while participating in a soccer match with Arab and Jewish youths. This is one of those photo op things. Yes, you're over 60 years old. You cannot be playing soccer with 10-year-olds, no. The injury occurred during a taping of the Royal Tour, which features personal one-on-one journeys through various countries with their heads of state. French police are being sued. This is what puts into the chutzpah category. French police are being sued by the father of Mohamed Merah, the Islamist terrorist who shot three Jewish children and a teacher for his son's murder. Mohamed Ben Nal Merah of Tunisia claims that the French police should have captured his son, I suppose, as he was jumping out the window, instead of killing him. And finally, the International Olympic Committee warned that a refusal by any participant in next month's games in London to compete against an athlete from any particular country is against the IOC's code of ethics. The warning came in response to an Algerian kayaker who withdrew from a World Cup event after learning that he would be competing against an Israeli. And that's the news. You know the best place to buy fruit and vegetables? Why, it's at Fruitasia. Located on Southfield Road, just south of the 13 Mile, Fruitasia provides quality, value, and the most wonderful environment to shop. You'll enjoy the spacious aisles, excellent selection, great prices, and friendly staff at Fruitasia on Southfield Road and 13 Mile. So we have now on the live line, this is noted lecturer, author, scholar, Tzvi Friedman. How are you today, Tzvi?
Hi, Herschel. Just beautiful.
It's always good to hear your voice, Tzvi. And we're talking about this. I got this pamphlet in the mail today, A Small Guide for a Beautiful Planet. And as we were having technical difficulties getting through, so I was sort of explaining it, what was the impetus of writing a pamphlet? Was this, you know, it's a little bit thicker. We were discussing also the polemics of the difference between a pamphlet and a booklet, and if this would be actually be categorized as a booklet, because it seems to me to have more pages than a pamphlet would. But that's neither here nor there. What was the impetus behind creating this presentation of the seven Noahide laws?
What's happening now is we're getting a lot of inquisitive questions questioners, people that are not Jewish, coming and writing to rabbis, calling up rabbis, pestering rabbis that they want to know about Judaism. And what it seems is really there's two things. There's Judaism and there's Jewishness, and you can distinguish one from the other. Judaism, I would say, is something that's for everybody, has a message for everybody. You can embrace Judaism, be in love with Judaism, but that doesn't mean that you're Jewish. It means that it resonates with you. It has something to say to you.
You don't have to be Jewish? Is that what you're saying?
You don't have to be Jewish. Uh-huh. Jewish means you're part of a tribe, so you do all the rituals for the tribe. You're counted in, and so this is your heritage, and this is the way you live, and this is your community. But you can be living in India or Africa or wherever.
Or West Bloomfield,
Michigan.
And be
Catholic, or even there, yeah. Catholic, Hindu, Tao, whatever, and you say, hey, Judaism has some beautiful things to teach. Let me learn about it. How do they apply to my life if I'm not a member of the tribe? So that's what the guide is about. It's speaking to those who are interested in what does Judaism have to say for our planet, for our way of life, if I'm not Jewish.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Is it our job to inform non-Jews about Judaism?
Well, I think if you're going to define who are the Jewish people, what are the Jewish people about, basically we're people who were given a mission to bring these ideas into the world. And the mission in many ways has been mostly accomplished because most of the world now accepts Jewish ideals that at one time were exclusively Jewish and now have become universal, such as the ideas of human dignity, universal education, value of world peace, the idea that there's one God who cares about what's going on in this world and that we have a responsibility to the planet, responsibility to one another. All these ideas in the ancient world were quite foreign, strange ideas and have now become the basis of our society. So, but there's still a lot more to teach. There's a lot more wealth there. There's a lot more to say. That's what the pamphlet is there to do.
Mm-hmm. There's a lot of stuff already in print. There's a book actually came out, I think, in the last 6 months about, it's called The Divine Code, if I'm not mistaken. I'm not sure if you're familiar with that work. I don't remember who did it. And there was a book 10 years ago by Chaim Klorfing, which the name of the book escapes me now. So there is already stuff in print. What, do we need another pamphlet?
I'm not really on the same page as those works. I felt that they were trying to create sort of a new kind of religion called Noahism, and these are the rules you have to follow. We're dictating it. So.
There is actually a group here in Livonia that had been for a while. They called themselves Noahides. Is there something wrong with that?
It's becoming an issue that the children of these people are growing up. They go to school. And the kids ask them, are you going to come to our Christmas party? No, we don't do that. Why? You're not Christian? No, then what are you? Well, we're Noahites. Well, there's nothing about that in our books. What kind of religion is that? Are you Jewish? And the kid thinks, well, my parents bring all these Jewish books in the house. We have all these Jewish customs. My parents go to a Jewish rabbi for classes. I guess we must be Jewish. So there is this identity issue. Crisis that's happening, along with their search for rituals and so on. I think much healthier if a person says, listen, what was I born into? What sort of a heritage do I have? There must be some truth in here. There must be something good that I can follow. But let me just discern between what I want to do and what I don't want to do, what's good for me and what's not. And I'll use the guide of Judaism, Jewish tradition of how all human beings are supposed to be, to tell me about that. And many people will find that most of what they've inherited really has a lot of wealth to it, good things, very compatible with the laws that were given to Noah.
Mm-hmm. Can all that be done in a 16-page pamphlet? That sounds like quite a monumental undertaking. Would be reserved for a massive tome.
Yeah, Yeah, we tried to compress a lot of it in there, a lot of guidance, but it's often better to say less than to say more, and just let people make the rest of the decisions for themselves. That's what we're trying to do. You know, a lot of the influence behind this really has been Jonathan Sacks.
The chief rabbi of England.
Right. Him and Nadine Steinfeld have written and spoken a lot about these issues. And Jonathan Sacks has pointed out that this is really a necessity for today's global society. He says, one time you had just tribes fighting with each other. And now there are no tribes. The whole world has the same culture taking over, where everybody has to eat the same hamburgers, drive in the same way, and watch the same TV shows.
Right, there are Walmarts all over the world, right, yes.
It's spreading everywhere. So there's a loss of identity. He says either extreme, the tribalness or this Hellenist homogenization of humanity, either extreme is unhealthy. So how do you have a multicultural world where everybody has their different culture and yet we all get along with each other? He says, well, here's the answer in having a basic ground rules for all of humanity, which is this guidance of Noah. And at the same time, it gives you a lot of leeway for everybody to do their own thing within that framework.
Mm-hmm. Now, just before we actually go into like some of the topics, because it's very fascinating, I'm very impressed with the presentation. As a rabbi in the Detroit community, I get calls all the time from non-Jews. And what I found the easiest thing to do was to direct people to the web. And I give them sites such as Chabad.org or AskMoses.com and NoahHyde.com. That should be sufficient enough to answer what they're looking for. Why a pamphlet?
So you're the guy who's been sending them all to us. I'm in charge of Ask the Rabbi at Chabad.org, and we're getting everybody that Herschel Finnan is sending to us.
That's exactly it.
That's it. How we figured it out. I had to write several articles just for those people. There's one about Jewishness and Judaism. Is Judaism for everyone? We've got a lot of comments on that. A lot of comments in the article on how does one convert to Judaism. And several other things. You know, the first thing I tell people is if they want to convert, well, maybe you should go talk with your pastor, your imam, your whoever, and find out about your own religion first and see if the answers are there. They had a pastor from Virginia who wrote to me and he says, so where do us Christians stand in all this with the laws of Noah? So I just asked him, and I sent him three questions. I said, do you have any icons in your church? How do you handle the Trinity? And do you believe that Satan has autonomy from God? So he answered to me, he says, no icons. The primitive Baptist, no icon.
Right.
He says, the Trinity, you know, they got it all messed up there with the Nicene Conference, and there's really only one God. And Satan, he says at the beginning of Job that he's just a prosecutor in God's court. He's another angel of God, so what's up? So I said, that's great. I'm looking forward to seeing you and your congregants there in the world to come, and keep it up. Very nice. Can I send people to you? He said, don't bother. They usually come, and when they see there's a commitment involved, then they leave. Commiserating together. Yeah, same problem.
Yeah, it's the old joke about the synagogue that has problems with mice, and they ask the rabbi, what should we do about the mice? He says, make them members. They'll never come to shul again.
Yeah, yeah. So they wonder why we discourage converts. But you have to make sure, does this person really mean it? Does he really want to become part of a people and put up with us? And when we see, okay, he can put up with us, he can deal with it, but he has to be discouraged first. Most people, though, they'd be far better off, and that God created them to be that way. That's what I quoted from in the pamphlet from Genghis Khan.
Mm-hmm.
He said that we Mongols believe in one God, by whom we live and by whom we die, and toward him we have an upright heart. Just as God gave different fingers to the hand, so he has given different ways to men. That's great. That's beautiful. I got a lot of flack for putting that in the pamphlet. What's Genghis Khan doing here in a Jewish pamphlet?
Mm-hmm.
But look, he had something good to say, so I'll quote it.
One of the questions I was going to ask you is the use of non-traditional Jewish sources in the pamphlet. And
well, they're not Jewish sources.
Yeah, Mahatma Gandhi also is quoted here. What we are doing in the forests of the world is but a mirror reflection of what we are doing to ourselves and to one another. It could also have been said, like, people are man is a microcosm and the earth is a macrocosm type thing, which is a Jewish statement.
Yeah. Listen, there are many Jewish statements that are quotations from Aristotle and Plato, and we seem to be fine with those. So, as Maimonides says, you take the truth from whence it comes. In this case, I'm talking to people who are not Jewish, and I'm telling them that we all go back to the same Noah, to the same Adam, and so there are truths everywhere in the world. There are truths of Torah. There's Abraham's children who took truth to the east. There's truth everywhere. You have to look for them and find them there. And the Torah is a tool, like a flashlight, for finding those sparks of truth everywhere in the world. That's why I'm quoting them.
Mm-hmm.
I think, in fact, Mahatma Gandhi is a good example, as is Václav Havel, and I also quote, what Gandhi was doing was far more Jewish than it was Hindu. The classical Hindu philosophy, you accept your karma, you accept how things, you don't go out and protest and even pacifist resistance. You accept. That's it. So today we're seeing a lot of this amongst disciples of the Dalai Lama as well, that they're demanding from him, we have to protest, we have to do something about this. So these are Jewish values that are spreading through the world, but partly through Jewish disciples of Indian gurus telling them these things.
Mm-hmm. Okay, now let's talk some little practical things over here. Let's say you have a person who is a hedonist motivated by his pursuit of animal pleasures and is not really so much into the thinking part of his brain. Why should he be thinking about these things? Or another question is, how can we get this person to be thinking about these things? I mean, one of them is from his standpoint. I'm perfectly happy just the way I am. I'm a big fat slob, and I enjoy being that way. And I'm not interested in bettering myself because I'm happy the way I am on my couch. And then the other way is, well, how did you go about doing that then?
Listen, this is something the Maharal of Prague describes very well. How each creature God made, he gave it a certain nature that it follows, its own instincts, and it keeps to those basic instincts that it has. It does pretty well, all except for the human being. And the human being is just designed to crash. He's designed to, if he just follows his nature, he falls into a pit. He can't do that. He is designed to be supernatural, to go beyond his nature. And life as a natural human being is a pit. It doesn't work. You can't live with a society. You can't live with yourself. You can't create a marriage. You really cannot create a beautiful life.
Mm-hmm. You wind up on shows like Dr. Phil, I guess.
it happens over and over again. You know, a beautiful marriage is one where each partner knows when to shut up, when to just ignore, when to go beyond what I want to do and feel like doing. A human being, in order to speak to another human being, has to go outside of himself, feel, how does this other person hear me? What do I look like to another person? A human being, in order to be a human being, is constantly transcending himself. So we're saying, for humanity to exist, there has to be some supernatural law that holds us together. Yeah, Dean Steinfeld put this very beautifully. He had to speak to a group of Russian scientists who were bred on atheism from youth and explained to them, why do we need universal law of Noah? So he said to them like this. He says, in mathematics, we know that you can never prove a system from within the system. And the same thing in logic. No system can prove itself. You always need something that transcends that system in order to prove it. The same thing with society. Human society can't govern itself. It needs something that transcends humanity, transcends our society, and we follow those rules that are beyond us. That's the only way we're sustainable society.
Mm-hmm. But that sounds okay for Jews, because Jews believe that they got the Torah on Sinai and this divine revelation stuff, and a person who's not Jewish, I'm going to believe something because some Jewish person's going to tell me that this is what me as a not-Jewish person should believe?
Listen, they're already, all the Christians, all the Muslims, they're already following something that they're now realizing, hey, this comes from the Jews. We're getting all these reverends and priests writing to us, and they want to know about Talmudic, the origins of Talmudic law and everything, because they're realizing, hey, that guy that we worship, he lit a Hanukkah menorah on December 25th. Yeah. So they know that it's coming from us to begin with, and they've been turning to us all this time. Only they've been only worshiping one of us up there on a cross instead of coming to all of us to ask us, listen, what did Moses exactly tell you? What is it that we're supposed to be doing? It says in our holy books that you're supposed to be priests unto the nations. So tell us what we're supposed to do. I think it's been pretty much accepted already in certain ways. Even when they know that, even when they persecute us, they still know that this is who we are, and that's why they keep us in existence and never wanted to wipe us out altogether for that very reason.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I like the back.
What do you do with a couch potato to get to him? I really have had a difficulty talking with the couch potato inside myself as well. But if you tell him in his own terms, listen, you want to have a good marriage, you want to enjoy this marriage, you want to have company when you're 60, 70 years old, you're going to have to go a little beyond yourself. And this is good guidance that has worked for several thousand years. Tested and proven. Give it a try.
Okay. The back page in a single breath, that there is a single essence. Do not profane the oneness in any way. Don't murder. Don't eat a limb taken from a living animal. Don't steal. Don't harness and sublime the human libido. Incest, adultery, rape, and other licentious practices are forbidden. Establish courts of law and ensure justice in the world. Those are the seven Noahide laws. What's one world creative, if I might ask?
One world creative are the people who decided they wanted to do this. They make calendars, ethnic calendars, they make Latino, Hispanic calendars,
it's not a
black
Jewish
calendars,
organization.
Jewish calendars. It's a publicity corporation.
Mm-hmm.
They're looking for a sponsor for this pamphlet, preferably a non-Jewish corporation that wants to put this thing out. And got a lot of nice messages for everybody inside there, generalizing these laws for everybody.
Okay, great. That's going to just about it. If you've got a question for Rabbi Tzvi Freeman on similar related topics, you can I think you have a contact at Chabad.org, if I'm not mistaken.
You go to Chabad.org and click Ask the Rabbi, and there's 14 people doing that. You can specify that it's for me, if you like. But the other guys doing it do a great job also.
Okay. And the pamphlet is called A Small Guide for a Beautiful Planet and is directed for people not necessarily of the Jewish persuasion. And we wish you continued success, Rabbi Freeman, and thank you so much for taking out some of your very busy time to grace our airways here at the Jewish Hour. We're going to take a quick commercial break, and we'll be right back.
The Art Studio of Oak Park is now accepting students. Whether you're a real beginner or have been at it for a lifetime, the Art Studio of Oak Park has something for you. All levels welcome, all ages welcome. Private tutoring or small friendly classes. Flexible hours available. The Art Studio of Oak Park is very affordable. Make your life better. Put art into your life. The Art Studio of Oak Park offers lessons in a strictly kosher environment. Call today, 248- 248-542-5087. That's 248-542-5087. It's great having an art room right in the neighborhood.
Why go to a hospital to get healthy? At Encompass Healthcare, you get the state-of-the-art wound care like in a hospital. The same medicines, the same everything without being in a hospital. Why put yourself at risk of getting a hospital-borne infection? Did you know that last year, 1 in 6 people died in America because of infections they got in hospitals? Encompass Healthcare is an outpatient facility. That means you get your wound care treatment and then go home. There are no wait times at Encompass Healthcare like in ERs. Healthcare is personal and works better, faster, and easier. Encompass Healthcare provides a state-of-the-art outpatient facility close to where you live. Call 248-624-9800. That's 624-9800. Auto accident, workman's comp, and most insurance is accepted. Encompass Healthcare's goal is to get you healthy with as little disturbance to your daily activities. Call 248-624-9800.
Herschel Finman here. You're listening to the Jewish Hour. We've got, for your listening pleasure, the song is called Machzer Shechinasai, or as the singer sings it, being that he's from Israel, Machzer Shechinato, as this is, means that God should return his divine presence back to Zion and take us all back there, the ingathering, the whole business. The artist's name is Naftali Kalfa, and he does it together with Sam Katz. They're up-and-coming Israeli song artists. Let's just listen in.
Chiropractic Healthcare offers patients the advantage of a safe and natural method of healing without the use of drugs or surgery. People of all ages, including children, benefit from chiropractic's unique approach to health. Call area code 248-557-1818 today to find out how chiropractic can benefit your family. At the Solomon Chiropractic Center, we especially love children. All kids should have their spines checked periodically throughout their crucial growing years. Growth on a crooked foundation will create a crooked spine and become harder to correct later in life. Kids love to get adjusted at the Solomon Chiropractic Center. And hey, moms, did you know that chiropractic offers a safe, drug-free approach to helping with the many pains women often get during and after pregnancy? We even have special tables which open up so pregnant women can lay on their stomachs. We treat moms, dads, children, and grandparents with arthritic pains, neck pains, back pain, and headaches. People of all ages, including kids, benefit from chiropractic. Come experience the natural method of healing without the use of drugs or surgery. Stop living in pain. Call area code 248-557-1818 today for a free consultation at the Solomon Chiropractic Center to discuss you and your family's health needs. Remember, 557-1818. That's 557-HIGH-HIGH.
Want assurance of quality and excellence in kosher? Look for the Michigan K on the label. What's it look like? The Lower Peninsula of Michigan with a K. It's the symbol of the Michigan Kosher Supervisors. Go to their website, mikosup.com. That's M-I for Michigan, K-O for kosher, and S-U-P for supervisors, mikosup.com, and find this month's featured products. You'll find Michigan K products wherever fine food is sold, especially at Natural Food Patch on West 9 Mile Road in Ferndale.
Hey, Shul Finman, here you are listening to the Jewish Hour. We got a request. This is from a woman referred to herself just as Mrs. Cohen, who lives in West Bloomfield. Thank you, Mrs. Cohen, for contacting us on RabbiFinman.com. She wanted to hear Bubalitskis, and she didn't care which version we could find up. And I happen to have for you, Mrs. Cohen. This is Sam Elman, 1938 Bubalitskis, just for you, Mrs. Cohen. Thank you for tuning in.
Thank you. This is Frank Lovasco with Lovasco Concrete Services. We specialize in driveways and patios. You can call me at 586-822-9985.
Herschel Finman here. You're listening to The Jewish Hour. We got time for one more. This is a pretty new Avram Fried coming out. It's called Nisht Gedeiget Yidden, which means, Jews, don't worry.
About two dreams I had recently. Ashen er cholim hab ich gesehen in Beis HaMikdash HaShlishi bin ich gewesen. Oye hanim zenen makriv korebon noitz Leviem zingen shir hamalos Oy sherabeinu led midi yovois Ksan hedrin zitzt un her tadin toire Ahadn akoye yehi in tonder men hoire und not zeh ich a herrlichen gesicht es scheint sei von ihm mit a göttlichen licht hoif sein kopf a goldenem kirun hoi Oy der kenne mich shoy Ay das ist der Melech Hamashiach Oy der alle Der ganze Neulung steht mit Moide Er ist mit Galles so des a teure. Reihen von Schlauf, ob ich sich ruhig
Some of the best jobs in the world are in the radio and television industry, and you too can join the workforce in as little as 8 months when you complete your hands-on training at the Specs Howard School of Broadcast Arts located in Southfield, Michigan. At Specs Howard School, students get to play and learn at the same time. Imagine spending your class time behind the microphone, spinning music and hosting your own radio show, or designing and lighting a set for your own TV program, running a camera, learning to edit, directing a program. When you go to Specs, your day will be anything but dull. And if school is this fun, imagine how exciting it is to work in the growing industry. In addition, the credits you earn while attending Specs Howard School are currently accepted at 14 area colleges and universities. If you've always wanted the best job in the world, call for a tour of Specs Howard School at 248-358-9000. That's 248-358-9000. Or visit them on the web at specshoward.edu. Specs Howard School of Broadcast Arts. This is where you start.
You know the best place to buy fruit and vegetables? Why, it's at Fruitasia. Located on Southfield Road, just south of the 13 Mile, Fruitasia provides quality, value, and the most wonderful environment to shop. You'll enjoy the spacious aisles, excellent selection, great prices, and friendly staff at Fruitasia on Southfield Road and 13 Mile.
Hey, Schulfinman here. You are listening to the Jewish Hour. This week is the portion of Korach, one of those more intense Bible stories. It can be found in the book of Numbers and chapter 15 and following. We know the whole story with Korach. Well, people who know the story of Korach know about the story of Korach anyway. Korach was a very wealthy person. He was the chancellor of the exchequer for Pharaoh in Egypt, which meant that he was in charge of accounts payable and accounts receivables and making sure that money was where it was supposed to be. He came across Joseph's rainy day slush fund that he had put away that wasn't on the books. It was an equivalent to today's terms, probably over $1 billion that nobody knew about. And so Korach, being the great public figure that he was, said, "Nobody knows about it. It's mine." And he pocketed the money, such that there is an old Yiddish expression, and as I say, they're all Yiddish expressions are old because I don't think anybody's making up any new ones. Zoy reich wie Korach, rich like, how rich is that guy? Oh, he's rich like Korach was rich. The guy had a billion bucks in the bank. Anyway, so Korach figured that since he was such an honorable person to be so wealthy, he deserved more honor than he was getting. He was actually, if you think about it, he was the number three man in the tribe of Levi. You had Aaron technically was number one, even though Moses was like number one, but then Aaron was number two, so however you'd like to call it. And then Korach was the next cousin in line and figured that he should have tremendous honor due him. Like, for example, he should be the prince of the clan of Kohath, but that went to Yitzhar, the number five or six man, I guess you would call him. And this sort of like made him upset. Not to be taken away from Korach and what was given to him, Korach was actually the point man for carrying the ark through the desert. There were four people who were appointed to carry the ark in the desert. Korach was number one. So it wasn't that he wasn't given any honor. He was given lots of honor, but I guess if you're into the honor thing, you want more honor. And led a rebellion against Moses because he wanted to be the high priest. He wanted to go into the Holy of Holies. This is what I want to talk about. The fact that he wanted to lead a rebellion is what we remember him for. And his billions of dollars that wound up going down the tubes, quite literally, as the Almighty opened up a hole in the ground and swallowed up Korach and all of his wealth. So much for that. So somewhere in the desert, somewhere in the Sinai desert, is $1 billion. You know, hey, that might be like down a very small hole. And we don't know how deep it was. According to Jewish legends, it sunk to the depths of Sheol, which if you really want to go down that far, I don't know if it's worth $1 billion. But anyway, let's look at what he wanted to do and put Korach in a positive spin. First of all, how is it that Korach could lead a rebellion against Moses? I'll ask my trusty board op, Steve, my engineer, the production manager of the studio. Knowing what you know about Bible, Steve, you can just shake your head yes or no. Would you lead a rebellion against Moses? No. Big time no. Okay. So now Korach was a prophet. He saw prophetically that his great-grandson was going to be the prophet Samuel. Okay? So he's a prophet. He knows a whole lot. and he led a rebellion against Moses? Well, it's actually because he had that prophecy of Samuel. He figured, if I'm going to have a grandson like Samuel, it must be that I'm going to be good in my rebellion. His prophecy didn't extend to the fact that some of his kids weren't going to participate in the rebellion. He had 10 sons, and not all of them participated. And so Korach was no slouch. He was not some evil dude. You know, you wouldn't picture him as like the Darth Vader of the Bible. You know, no, it's not. No, he was a really good guy, because what did he want? He wanted to go into the Holy of Holies. And Moses, in his counterclaim, quite clearly delineates, I also want to go into the Holy of Holies, but I can't. Everything we try to do, this is like the modus operandi of the Lubavitcher Rebbe, that the stories of the Bible are not just stories. It doesn't fit in your little squares and Jewish trivial pursuit, God forbid. There's lessons that have to be learned here as well for us in the year 2012. What lesson can we take from Korach? Not the lesson so much to mind your P's and Q's and don't step out of line, but rather, look at it this way. Every single person should really desire, should have this burning urge to want to experience the ultimate in godliness. That's what Korach did. Now, we do not have a Holy of Holies, so how do we go about experiencing such a thing? Well, the Alter Rebbe, the first Lubavitcher Rebbe, says in Tanya that Nadav and Avihu, when they went into the Holy of Holies, they just got a little godly revelation, got their souls burnt out of their bodies. That's not the way to do it. If you do a mitzvah, like Svi Friedman said earlier, the commandment, when you command somebody to do something, what part of you is telling them to do it? It's not just your mouth or your brain. It's your you. It's yourself. It's your entirety. It's your being. So if you do one of the commandments, pick any commandment. Jewish, you got 613. Non-Jewish, you have 7. What you're doing then is you're bringing into this world the absolute will of God, which is an expression of the absolute essence of Hashem. You want to experience godliness? Go do something good today. We've got to take a quick commercial break, and we'll be back with the Hasidic story. Don't go away. You're listening to The Jewish Hour.
This is Jim Hiller. At Hiller's, we support all things Michigan, which is why we support The Jewish Hour.
Hi, this is Spex Howard from the Spex Howard School of Broadcast Arts. We're happy to sponsor The Jewish Hour and bring quality radio programming to the community. While much of the funding for The Jewish Hour comes from its sponsors, it's listeners like you that help keep The Jewish Hour on the air. Please send your tax-deductible donation to The Jewish Hour, 14,000 West 9 Mile Road, Oak Park, Michigan, 48237. That's 14,000 West 9 Mile Road, Oak Park, Michigan, 48237. Your help is greatly appreciated.
Herschel Finman here. You're listening to The Jewish Hour. Want to get in touch with me? The very best way to do that is go to rabbifinman.com, my website. I didn't put it up there for nothing, folks. RABBIFINMAN. What will you find there? Well, sometime hopefully by this afternoon, there will be today's show, for example, and there's the last 4 weeks' show before that. So if you missed anything, want to hear something again, that's where you'll find it, on rabbifinman.com. You'll find archived editions of the E-Parsha, which is insights into the portion of the week with a Hasidic story, the U-Parsha and the Hasidic U-Story, which are also insights and stories into the week, but you won't hear those on The Jewish Hour because I don't do that. If you want to hear like wide variety, go to rabbifinman.com. And what else is on rabbifinman.com? The all-important donation page. Yes, demography has changed since 1996. The Jewish Hour 1996 was supported by sponsors, with some help from an occasional check that came in the mail. Today, the Jewish Hour is sponsored by listeners like you, with an occasional sponsor putting the check in the mail. We need your help. It's the middle of June. We have to pay the bill for June. We need you to help. Step up to the plate, or whatever sports metaphor suits your fancy. Go to RabbiFinman.com. Click on the donations page. It's all very secure. It's all handled through PayPal. And do it today so you don't forget. Don't like using credit cards over the internet? Okay, I understand. Drop a check in the mail. The Jewish Hour, 14,000 West 9 Mile Road, Oak Park, Michigan, 48237. The fifth Lubavitcher Rebbe was named Sholem Baer. And he had a very large following of Hasidim who would come visit him on a regular basis. There's one person, a very rich Hasid, a disciple, who was a diamond dealer, who would come for the holiday of Shavuos. We're still in Sivan, so it has to do with Shavuos. Even though we got Gimel Tammuz, the Rebbe's Yahrzeit is coming up tomorrow. Coming up the end of the week on Shabbos. Maybe we'll tell a Rebbe story next in honor of Gimel Tammuz. This diamond dealer loved coming to the Rebbe, but he just couldn't understand the way in which things were done. The Rebbe spoke eloquently for hours, deep Hasidic insights, and most of the hall was filled with people who just, quite frankly, didn't have a clue what he was talking about. It was such esoteric, such deep stuff. And then it would go on for hours. Who had the power of concentration to listen for such a long time? But this diamond dealer did. And he found it sort of like taken aback about this procedure. And he actually asked the Rebbe about why does he give so much precedence to these simple people? The Rebbe didn't answer. Before he was about to take leave, so the Rebbe asked if this diamond dealer could come to him because maybe he would like to buy a diamond that he brought with him. And so the diamond dealer, of course, the Rebbe wants to buy a diamond, sure, no problem. And he laid out his wares. You know, I don't know if you've ever had one of these things done. The velvet, little cloth, and they put the diamonds down over there, and they highlight it, they have lights, whatever. So the Rebbe picks up one diamond and says, I think I like this one. So the diamond dealer said, Rebbe, if you want a really phenomenal diamond, this is a phenomenal diamond. This one over here. So he says, I like my diamond. What's up with that one? He says, Rebbe, you have to be an expert to know what a real diamond is. The Rebbe then looked at him and said, when you're looking at souls and the souls of simple people, you have to be an expert to know what a real special one is. That's going to do it for the show. We hope you had a great time. We hope you had a chance to entertain you a bit. We hope we had a chance to educate you a bit. We hope to see you again next week, and we hope you have a good week this week. Take care. So long. Unter Jiedeles Wiegele steht der Chlorweiß.